good to see you, brother. Welcome.
All right. Well, why don't we get started? And if everybody can mute your microphones if you are not actively talking, that would be helpful so everybody can hear. So can everybody verify that you're on mute and we'll get started? No, I don't want them to say they're on mute. So why don't...
Can't we be on mute?
Just using your phone, if you have a mute button. Otherwise, that just keeps the background noise from happening. So, why don't we get started? So, welcome to everybody, and thank you for being part of this call. We're going to be talking tonight about our experiences at the 2013 Burning Man camp. We ended up washing feet this year, which was an addition to the Christian Science lecture that we gave. My name is Gabriel Serafini, and I will basically just kind of share a little bit of kind of the overview, and then we can maybe have the different participants share some of their sort of favorite memories, some of the things that we learned, some of the experiences that we had, maybe particularly thinking about kind of any of the spiritual lessons learned or significant experiences that we had. So this year we ended up bringing 10 people total to Burning Man, and we had been planning it for about, close to a year actually, in terms of the initial planning, but then as time kind of got closer and closer, it ended up being three of us, Grant, Julian, and myself, that kind of ended up doing most of the sort of last minute preparation for getting a large shade structure built. It was a total of about 60 foot by 40 foot in total size in the shape of a cross. We built it with lumber we bought at Home Depot, just from our own kind of designs, and the final structure just turned out to be a wonderful, open, airy, welcoming space. We ended up camping as a group in a 30-foot geodesic dome that we purchased and assembled, and it really provided a nice sanctuary and quiet space. We drove kind of out, we drove up to Reno on Saturday and ended up staying with some church families there Saturday night, three different families. Went to church on Sunday morning, did some final last-minute preparations in Reno, and then late Sunday night, we ended up leaving to go to Burning Man. So kind of from there, does anyone want to kind of pick up the tale from that point and share what happened next? Maybe Julian or Michael or Drea? Or I can keep on sharing. So basically, we ended up taking a little bit of a detour because we got a hot tip from somebody who suggested we take an extra 200 miles added to our trip. And at the time, we looked at each other and thought, oh, that sounds like a good idea to bypass this big long line of RVs that are streaming through this point. And we kind of figured out after a while that we had had a practical joke played on us, and that we ended up getting back into that line a number of hours later. Once we arrived actually a little after sunrise and met up with Fujiko and Mark, who had driven an RV down from Bieber, California, and had been waiting for us at will call. We ended up kind of arriving with thousands of other vehicles, and it took a number of hours to get through the line. And we ended up finding them. We ended up picking up two college kids who needed a ride through the gate in a vehicle. And they actually ended up camping with us as well, and really helping out with our camp, which was really cool to see that sort of immediate sense of family and growing family once we arrived there. It took us about a day and a half to get fully set up and build out all the infrastructure. And the first afternoon that we had our foot washing station set up, we ended up washing around 40 people's feet that day. So the response that we got to the foot washing was pretty marvelous. The discussions that we were able to have with people were really meaningful, and almost all of them were very spiritual in nature. And I'd love it if one of the other participants could jump in and maybe share a story or two of kind of what that led to for them.
Hey Gabe, I'll hop on. This is Michael. Just wanted to kind of start my sharing a little bit with some passages from the Bible on science and health. This is from Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23-24. It says, "Don't let the wise brag of their wisdom. Don't let heroes brag of their exploits. Don't let the rich brag of their riches. If you brag, brag of this and this only, that you understand and know me. I am God, and I act in loyal love. I do what is right and set things right and fair, and delight in those who do the same things. These are my trademarks, God's decree." This is from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. The definition of mind from the glossary: the only I or us, the only spirit, soul, divine principle, substance, life, truth, love. The one God, not that which is in man, but the divine principle or God of whom man is the full and perfect expression. Deity, which outlines, but is not outlined. The last portion of that definition, which outlines but is not outlined, for me really kind of, I think, you know, we could all have a narrative of how the Burning Man experience was, maybe from different perspectives, but for me, it's something that cannot be outlined. It's something that, you know, for every individual who was there, the experience was so meeting their exact need. I like to think of it as like a magnifying glass for consciousness. And when you are at Burning Man, whatever is on your heart, whatever you've been working with really for the entire year, I feel is just brought into your experience in those days you're there. And it's sometimes something you have to face, sometimes you have to conquer, other times it's like a gift from God that seems to just, you know, come out of nowhere. And so, for me, I'd say the greatest experience was learning to work and cooperate as a team rather than as more of like a vigilante evangelist. And I get to see the power of church like I've never, ever seen it before. Because it took upon the diversity of gifts, the individuality expressed, and on a larger scale than really I've ever been a part of. Everyone was so just brightly shining with exactly what they were called to do. And so I would encourage, you know, everyone who was a part of it to just, you know, think about maybe the, in terms of the gifts that they saw expressed, that they felt they were expressing. For me, I feel like I had the opportunity to really serve, whether I was cooking meals, which is something that's fairly new in my life, and got to really serve and help in that way. Whether I was doing music, which got to open and close Fujiko's first lecture, or whether I was washing people's feet. You know, it wasn't the activity of foot washing or the activity of cooking that was like, you know, what I felt was so powerful for me. It was that I was exercising that gift of service and servanthood. So that's just a little from my experience. I'll open it up for anyone else to share as well.
So this is Annalisa, and I would like to follow up on what Michael was saying. One of the interesting things that I learned, and this was kind of unlooked for, was how quickly we discovered that we were just doing church, as in the structure of truth and love, whatever rests upon and elevates mankind and the rest of that wonderful definition. It was just church without walls, but it definitely had a structure. And one of the interesting things that came to light was how helpful this diversity of gifts and specific styles of giving really met the needs of the folks that were coming. And I don't know how many of you know Brother Michael, but who is just speaking. But Michael has a very embracing style that many people just resonated with him, kind of speaking the gospel right from the heart. And there were times when that was exactly what was needed. But there were other opportunities for folks that had a completely different way of approaching people. And time and again, it seemed like the folks that were having their feet washed it just turned out to be with exactly the right person, and they would respond with their strength. So I just came to see in this little experience how that diversity of how we love our neighbor is a real strength. It doesn't have to all look the same for everybody. It's fine that one person has one way of giving and another person is very comfortable with a different way. It just was a real clear window on diversity being a strength in our church offerings. So that's just one of the things I'd like to put in there, and someone else can take it from there.
This is Ansley. I just wanted to share that I cannot believe how perfect of an environment the Burning Man was really to share Christian Science with people. And the ways of sharing varied. I don't think I've ever shared Christian Science in more varied ways in a one-week period ever in my entire experience. And I think that it was just a very pure environment. It was a lot of radical thinkers at Burning Man. And it was a very warm, embracing, accepting culture. Anything goes, really. So there was no resistance to the word God. There was no resistance to the word Christ or Christian Science. And or the Bible, even. Or Science and Health. I didn't feel any of that. It just seemed that people were willing to listen, and we were in an environment where we were willing to listen to them and their schools of thought. And I thought about, what does the Burning Man mean? And to me, it means, the burning of vanity, the burning of materialism, the crumbling of time-honored systems. And it became not just like a theory, but it became an actual way of life, where there weren't systems of money. It was a system of trading, of love and service, and just being sufficient and having to rely on God for needs, but also doing the human footsteps and the footwork and bringing up water and thinking about what service we wanted to offer. And we offered so many interesting gifts. We had the foot washing. We gave people an opportunity to wash other people's feet, which several of them got that experience. And we offered treatments, Christian Science treatments, to people who needed them. We offered prayers. We gave away probably close to 50 or 60 Science and Health to people that were really eager to get their hands on it. The lectures were very effective. People really had an experience there, including me, and got healed. I felt myself getting healed in there and getting more inspired to help others awaken to the truth of what Christ can do. And, we had a church service, one of the last days, the very last day, and I've never been to a church service like this. It really met people where they were at. People didn't feel any pressure to stay for the whole hour. They didn't feel the pressure whether they were invited or not. It was a complete attraction. Some were just attracted to be there for 30 minutes, the full hour, some for 5 minutes. Some were more attracted to the music, others more to the reading of the Bible, others more to the reading of Science and Health. And it was just a really powerful, God-centered experience for us all. And it was, life transformational. So it was really, there's just an element of trust at Burning Man, and where people are just really open to listening to each other. And I just have no doubt that those Science and Health that were given out will be read. And just so much reading of Science and Health while I was there just helped me just get a lot of feelings and a lot of just living the fruited section of just the power of the Word, of the Bible, and of Science and Health, and just changing consciousness and just altering reality. So that's all.
This is Andrea, or Andrea for short. Thanks so much to everyone who shared. I can totally resonate with all of the great ideas that are shared. I actually just picked up Science and Health, and it happened to be open to the Science of Being section. And under the section called Spiritual Tangibility, I read this line, which I feel like is an exact I guess, the trail of what Burning Man was for me. So first, ideas are tangible and real from immortal consciousness, and they have the advantage of being eternal. Spirit and matter can neither coexist nor cooperate, and one can no more create the other than truth can create error or vice versa. But I absolutely love this thought about ideas being tangible and real from immortal consciousness, because I feel like when we're out there, we're in a totally different plane of existence. I feel like it is different from the real world that we're typically living in, because people are so open-minded. And people brought certain ideas with them and certain things that they wanted to see when they were out there. And it's like every idea you bring in, it becomes completely amplified. So people are out there really searching for deeper meanings and life, searching for spiritual ideas. And they were met, you know, they found them, and in a very tangible and real way, not in an abstract way. So they were really happy to know that we can go out there and meet people where they were and share these ideas, especially science, and not just in a theoretical way, but in a real way that's meaningful to them, that they can take into their own lives and practice. And I think my favorite experience from the first time you're out there at Burning Man was the speaking in the temple. And it was really special to me because I felt like when I was just there, there were really no walls. It was just a service that people were welcome to come and join for however long they wanted and speak them whatever they wanted. And I remember at the end, a girl came and joined us, and she said this beautiful sincerity and song about love. And we all kind of joined in, and although we didn't speak the same language as her, it didn't matter. We were all communicating with each other, and connecting with each other in a really powerful way. And I, after the experience, I talked to her a little bit and gave her a science and health, and we just shared this great moment, this really powerful spiritual moment. And then afterwards, I left, and I kind of forgot about this experience. And it felt like it was something that was just something that happened at Burning Man, and I wouldn't really be able to, like, it would just be a nice memory going forward. But then the other day, I checked my email, and I actually got an email from this girl who lives in Brazil, but she just happened to be visiting Berkeley, and she said she remembered that I live out here, and she wanted to meet up, and she said she really loves the church that she calls. And that her favorite gift that she got at Burning Man was the science and health that we gave her. And so I thought, since she's in Berkeley this week, it would be great if she could come to, you know, CSO or spiritual discussions that we hold every week. And I said, this was her, to see if she'd be interested, and she was so excited about the idea. So she'll actually be joining us this Thursday for anyone else who will be there as well. And it just, this experience is so incredibly powerful to me because it's sure that what we hold in our minds becomes our reality. And it's not something limited to one period in time or one certain experience, but it's just something we can take with us and apply every day in our lives and just see how peaceful these experiences can be.
I'll jumble it in with Julian. I want to be really grateful for all the spiritual support we receive from all of you. The secret is not alone our secret, but the secret of everyone who stayed in all the world over this time. So it's a phenomenal demonstration. And it's been so clear in a number of ways that one is really, really sticking out is the weather. Everyone out there said that the weather this year of Burning Man was the nicest weather in the history of Burning Man ever. And I absolutely know that this is because we have such a great team having our back and playing with us and for us and for the people at Burning Man that are also searching. We didn't have any dust storms, we didn't have any thunderstorms, we didn't have the rain. That turns the dust into play. Dallas was really pleasant, like being on the beach, and we had enough sort of space or space cover during the week that didn't get too hot either. One experience that is sort of really brief and tangible is that at one point a woman came to a foot wash place, and I didn't really feel like she wanted to speak fast because when she sat down, she said, I'm phobic of feet. I'm really afraid that you're going to point your feet at me right now. I was like, whoa, way to come to a foot washing place. But I promised I wouldn't point my feet at her and just wash her feet. And the loving and caring atmosphere that we had in our camp was enough to lift that spell off her. But by the time we finished washing her feet and had a little conversation, she actually started washing my feet and then left, saying that she would go back and wash her husband's feet. And that was such a radical transformation from being literally afraid of being pointed in the direction of feet to being able to touch and wash other people's feet. That just kind of blew my mind. And there was no active augmentation of treatment or all of that. It was literally just the atmosphere of love that was expecting error. And having such an atmosphere wherever you are, wherever you gather, the people coming and get healed with whatever problem they have, that really is church. And that's what I took away. Church family that is based on spiritual unity and on a loving agreement that the fosters and the service can to the fellow men and women.
Here's another experience. This is Annalisa again. And some of you other folks can jump in too, but there was one time, just speaking of healing, two women came into our camp, one a little older and the other a little younger. And the younger one, who for whom English was not her first language, apparently had been just taking a run and had totally lost track of where her camp was, and so she didn't really know where to go, and she had no food or water or clothes with her beyond what she was wearing, and was quite distraught about all that, and so this older woman was, I guess, trying to help her. So they both came into our camp, and they both had their feet washed, and they stayed in our camp for well over an hour, I think, just drinking in the love and the peace and the calm that was there, and we kind of learned bit by bit of this younger woman's plight, and it became apparent that we had a spare water bottle that we could give her, and so I put some ice water in there and gave that to her, and we gave them both a sandwich, and they participated in some of the Wednesday gratitude activities that were going on at that moment that Michael was leading, meeting the needs of folks in that camp and area. And anyway, they left. Well, while the younger woman was kind of doing this thing with Michael and other folks, this gratitude and movement thing. The older woman was washing Gabriel's feet after she had hers washed. And it was just a wonderful opportunity to just feel loved. And when they both left sometime later, the older one was saying, "Well, I came here burdened with many things, but I've dropped them all." And they went on their way happy. So that was a precious experience. Someone else has turned.
So, when Fujiko mentioned that her husband Mark was going to be coming, it was kind of like, "Oh, okay." And she said, "Yeah, he'll be a good support." And we were like, "Great." But I don't think any of us really understood what that really meant. And I'll just share from my perspective, it was an excellent example of how, as part of this experience, we did a lot of planning, and yet so much of it basically, we use the word unfolded quite a bit in Christian Science, but it just absolutely was unfolded with all sorts of wonderful and exciting surprises that we didn't plan on or know were going to happen, but because we had really kind of prepared an environment where things could happen and were in an environment where things could happen, they did. And I'll just say, it having Mark be part of our camp was just a fabulous addition of enthusiasm, of know-how, of helping get things built and built the right way, trying to help us work out our silly, ridiculous design for a evaporating device called an evapotron that to kind of get rid of our wastewater. He kind of really helped work through some different ideas on that. And he just had such an enthusiasm for just the basic activity and this basic Christian sharing of love for our people. And so, Mark, I don't know if, you know, it's okay to put you on the spot, but do you have any stories from your perspective that you'd like to share?
Yeah, it's good to listen to all your voices again. It brings back a lot of memories, and I guess people in Burning Man always contrast Burning Man to the real world, whatever the real world actually means. And when people hear that you were a Burning Man and they know anything about Burning Man, they're like, "Oh, what was it like? And, you know, what did you see? And what was, you know," and I think Michael was putting it with this quote as far as outlining that you couldn't really outline Burning Man. But of all the strange and wondrous things at Burning Man, for me, a lot of it just goes right back to the act of washing people's feet. And there were people who wanted to talk, and there were people who didn't want to talk. And there were people who were eager to have their feet washed and people who were very reluctant. But the memories that always come back to me is the actual act of washing a person's feet, whether they were smooth and dainty or rough and calloused. time, and just the ability to gently wash the feet, to rub the feet too. And I always remember, you know, to make sure to gently set down the clean foot very, very softly, and not leave it too quickly, because it was nearly magical. One gentleman, I think his name was Jacob, he was doing that, and he was kind of opening up. He says, you know, this feels so good. He says, you know, I don't even let my girlfriend touch my feet. And this has just been the greatest thing. And, you know, almost without exception, everybody was transported to a different place. And so for all the strange and wondrous things at Burning Man, I think that's the thing that's going to stick with me the most, other than getting to know all you folks.
So, Mark, would you share that experience with our German neighbor?
Herman, I think his name was, if I remember correctly. And he was probably maybe late 50s, early 60s. And we met him, and when I heard he was from Germany, I invited him into the camp, and we all introduced ourselves. And the next day, he was walking by with his camera, and I offered to wash his feet. And he was very much, oh, no, I don't think I want that. And I'm like, come on, you'll enjoy it, it'll be good. So I basically cajoled him into foot washing. And as he was sitting there, and as I washed his feet, and he became more relaxed, he was saying, like, you know, no one's ever washed my feet before, except my mother. And then I washed a little bit, and he was just sitting there and thought, and he said, and my father, he said, I was 3 years old, and they were paving the road outside, and I'd gone out and walked around in the tar, and my feet were all black. And my father brought me in and took gasoline and washed the tar off and cleaned my feet. He said, I haven't thought of that in centuries, he said. And so I finished, and he went, and we had our tower of, it had many permutations. At first it was, I forget what the original message, sign up for a foot wash or something, but then it became sort of like a foot wash thank you, and I always called it the thing for a Hall of Fame. But he wrote a little couple lines in German. He says, oh, you won't understand this, but he wrote it in, I'm not sure the exact translation of, and Julian translated it for us, but it was something to the effect that, thank you for washing my feet, and, you know, much was washed off my feet, and I washed more than my feet, so it was very, very touching, and I think almost all the, I took pictures of all these different writings on the tower, so they're all very insightful of the process. I like the one that said, you made me shoot rainbows out my toes. I thought that was pretty indicative of how people received the foot washing.
Well, this is physical. Mark really enjoyed it, and I'm so glad that he fit in. And I think that I had some interesting, important insight this foot washing, because when I came back, some people found out I was actually giving a talk through social networks. some of them were saying, like, is this just a ritual? And another one said, you know, Jesus only washed the disciples' feet, those who were already healing, I mean, the healers. And it just sounded a little bit like, well, from looking from outside, that's probably what they saw. And I didn't really say much or respond to these, but I was very quiet, and it really came to me to see that at that point, when he washed the disciples' feet, none of them actually were healing. They were following him, but basically they were just about to leave him. They just quite understand nobody actually came to the cross. But he still watched them. And no, I just felt it was after the ascension and Pentecost that they began to heal. And to me, foot washing now has a new meaning. It's not about, you know, we take care of each other, but to really make sure that we're washing feet without any judgment, because if he already was knowing some of them or most of them are going to run away or betray, and knowing that and washing, it has deeper meaning to me now. And so I gently wrote back to some people about how beautiful this gesture is, whether you do this or not, literally. I used to think it's more figuratively, but by actually doing it, I felt that what Jesus did is a power. The act of actually doing it made me really understand how deep his love was, because he knew what was coming ahead. And it's not those who are prepared, somehow chosen, who are going to be washed feet. It's everyone, because they're God's children. And I was inspired. I didn't really include this, but when I did my daily list, when I came back and wrote something and sent it off to Nate the Great. he said, okay, can you change just a little bit towards the end so I can use it for back to school week? So tomorrow it will be my daily list on foot washing. So thank you so much. And I really never went to lecture venue riding bicycle with my ski goggle and masks. And I really enjoyed it. And I just felt like this is probably more like how it was when Jesus was walking on the and ministering in the sand or dry air. And I always had the angels. Some of you were always accompanying me, and I just felt so honored that I'm on this bicycle. I haven't been back for a while, so it was a little bit wobbly. But, you know, you were guiding on both sides before me, and it was like a chariot going to the venue. And then that contact dance I really enjoyed, because it really made me think how much I can't think with my head. For the dance to work naturally and with a beautiful flow, I have to just let go of my wanting or direction. Just be there. And I watched Julian and dance with those instructors, and I just felt, wow, he is a child. And I just made me think of 3 or 4 year old who can move without thinking. And so that actually, that dancing part,
prepared me for the rest of the week in a way, because I dropped something. I don't know what it is. I dropped. And so I have been sharing this experience. I have other Christian Scientists here in town who would like to go next year. I already told her I'll be her sponsor for the ticket. She's also an author, and she'd like to give some talks if it's possible. So I will send you an information. Another person, actually, her father was also listening to what I was sharing, and he said, well, we have summer arts festival here at State College. Why don't we go up on watching station? And I'm like, maybe. But, you know, so you are already inspiring beyond that beautiful home that we have there, a church that we cherish. So, thank you very much. And thank you for this renewing that the sense of my heart's burning. On our way to wherever we go, it's our Burning Man experience. Thank you.
Fujiko, this is Susanna. I was just curious if you'd be able to say another word about what it was like to lecture out there.
I felt that, well, the... because it's not enclosed, it's open, and there are two different venues, but especially the last one I did, it was very close, just distance-wise with the audience, and then beyond, because I can see people listening outside that close audience that was right in front of me. That I felt their energy more probably than most other places that I have spoken, and I'm speaking, but I'm also listening, because I just felt that there's almost like mutually communicating at the same time, that I'm hearing them and they're responding. They're a very receptive audience. So I think every lecturer should experience this. And because it's not so traditional, in the sense that it has walls and there might be some big music starting somewhere, and every moment that you're just by being grateful, you can overcome this. But it's definitely good not to have any expectations, but just to expect that it's going to be done. I don't know if that's helpful.
Thank you.
And
this is Mark. I just wanted to add, some of the second talk was supposed to be under 15 minutes, and I think Fujiko was challenged by the idea of taking a talk which was normally an hour or so, and actually figuring out how to deliver it in 15 minutes. And so, and she actually made it less than that because of time constraints. But the day before, there was a little bit of hesitancy that things would go as well as she wanted to. And that morning, she said, "I think I worked things out." And I have to say, of the lectures I've seen Fujiko give, I felt that 10-minute-plus talk was probably the most dynamic, the most reaching talk that she's given that I've actually witnessed. And the air was actually alive. It was, people not there with an expectation for a Christian Science lecture. It was just people listening to what she said. And I think her characterization that it was a dynamic two-way experience, I would concur with that opinion. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark, for giving us more details. It's really wonderful to get to hear all of it from all of you.
This is Michael. Did we want to maybe give those who did not go to Burning Man this year an opportunity to ask any questions or to get further clarification on any points about maybe what happened this year or even what will happen next year? Maybe that should be an invitation instead. If anyone has any questions, please feel free to ask, and we'd love to answer them.
This is Sandy, and I'm wondering what you learned, if you can tell at this point, that you would do differently the next time.
Yeah, we won't bring raspberries. They spoil too fast.
So, and kind of on top of that, so Annalisa joined our group about 3 days before we actually left. It turned out that she would be able to come through the generous gift of a ticket. And so I pretty much had been planning to do food planning more, and I knew it would get done, but it hadn't actually gotten done. So I pretty much was like, Mom, here, will you do food? And between Annalisa and Andrea, they both basically pulled together and did a lightning fast prep for feeding 10 people for a little over a week. And so I would say one thing that will be different next year is just giving that aspect a little bit more time and planning and forewarning for the people involved so that we can kind of arrive a little bit better planned. We ended up over-provisioned for both food and water, and we brought home about 50 gallons worth of water. It took about a little over a cup and a half per person to wash their feet. So we didn't really know how much water it was going to take going in. And next year, so our estimate was that we washed probably a little over 200 people's feet. And next year, I think we could easily do probably 5 times that, depending on how many people we have in our camp, and essentially advertising almost at all. So, better signs, better awareness, kind of at Burning Man, and hopefully more participants. Anybody else have any lessons that we learned and things that we'd do different?
Hey, this is Piper, and I just wanted to chime in and thank everyone for sharing, because not going at the last minute, I've been so curious to hear stories and to see how a lot of our planning and prayers came into being and came into effect, and it's just been such a delight for the last hour to hear about that. And I also just wanted to thank everyone for sharing so openly. When I came back from Burning Man last year, the experience had been so, I suppose, profound and had so expanded my sense of God that it was almost difficult to share details with anybody for weeks afterwards. So it's just really cool to hear the stories, and I'm sure there's so many more buried in your hearts, and it's just really gratifying to hear how all of our love and planning for this idea got so fully manifested.
So thanks, you guys.
This is Michael. I'd love to share what I think we could do better for next year. So I had the opportunity and the blessing to be a part of this year and last year. And so Julian and I are kind of the two that were able to do both. And they were two totally profoundly different experiences. And I think ideally for me, the third year would be a blending of the two. Because the first year was like a crack team of four scouts, super solid, super focused, with really clear, like, understanding of what each person was bringing. And we had a very clear plan for distributing Christian Science literature through the Mother Church Reading Room, where we had what we called healing packs, which were very beautifully put together packages of Christian Science sentinels, journals, heralds, along with information about the lecture, some very beautiful greeting cards that were made by a church member in Boston, and miscellaneous other goodies. This year I felt we were much more scattered in how we were kind of delivering and distributing that kind of material. We had, boxes of books, but for the most part, they sat completely unused until, like, a lightning bolt practically struck someone and said, okay, this person's got to have a Science and Health, or got to give them a sentinel. And so I would love to see the power of the foot washing and the scope, the scale of that activity be matched by a scope and scale of activity for distributing literature and even prayer treatment, kind of being just as focused and systematic about literature distribution and prayer as we were about foot washing this year. So I would love to see that happen next year, because I feel like there were times where that kind of got lost in the activity of foot washing, the activity of conversation, and it would just be great to have a team, a core team of people that are very passionate about that, just as other people are passionate about foot washing, doing that activity on the same scale.
Hi, this is Grant. I'm not sure how clear this is. I mean, we did give away, I think, a few dozen Science and Health, and then a handful of sentinels and Bibles, and one or two other books. I mean, there was that one box open, but there was constantly being refilled.
I think one thing that blew me away was Ujiko's second talk. I mean, both her talks were fantastic, but the second talk was just and this ties back to the Science and Health. The second talk, which is, I feel like she was completely full of the Spirit. It just, like, took over. And it was Sophia Cecina talking about the 10-minute talk that was so unbelievably effective. You could actually, goes back to what I was saying before about spiritual tangibility, that you could really feel the power and the effectiveness of spirituality working there for everyone. And I feel like after that talk, people really were yearning for more and wanting to understand the Science better and understand everything better. And although Jiko didn't mention in her talk that we were giving away Science and Health, we added a line about it later on. And I remember Mark taking a basket full of Science and Health and completely fearlessly walking down the middle of the aisle, and there were probably like 30 people there, and people were jumping out of their seats to grab these Science and Health. And by the time he was walking down this aisle, which was probably, I don't know, 8-10 feet long, he, like, flipped the basket upside down because it was completely empty. People had just snatched off all the Science and Health. So I was really grateful to see that.
Just doing one last year on the Spectus and Health at the fans to be the last year in this year. I agree with Michael that a singular focus, like, this is what we're here for and this is what we do. was stronger last year. This was the same. We did the lecture in the West. And this time we came, we did a lot of things, and stayed. But in terms of literature distribution, the packet, those were Michael's idea, and he distributed them. And if he wants to do more of that, it's fine. I give away my special friends and houses. If I post me and ask for them, they just usually like show up and they're like, I don't want a foot wash, I want a book. And that's really welcome. I think it's a matter of perception how everybody like perceives things and feels what things are important to them. Last time we didn't have a camp set up that people could come in for treatment or sit down and pray. And this time we have the dome and a fair amount of people got spiritual treatment in there. This is great. And I think they should be fostered and nurtured. And having a core metaphysical team, as is like a core kitchen team or a core washing team, would make a lot of sense if the whole camp grows. What I was kind of feeling we could have more of is sitting down together and do some prayer together on a specific topic or just in general and then care afterwards and raising it's like a closer prayer bond. We did it sometimes, but I think having that on like a daily basis, for example, after dinner or so, would add a lot. I felt like, as Michael said, things are a little all over the place. Everybody had their things to do. And it was great. And if people come together, like stay together silently, you can hold watch, also have certain shifts during day, during night, that I think would add a lot. And I would be totally for that.
So, Grant, I think you might have joined us a little bit later. Earlier in the call, we kind of each shared some of our favorite, our most interesting memories from the experience. Do you have any that you'd like to kind of share?
Can you give me a few, can we come back to that? Let me...
Sure, no problem. Does anybody have any other kind of questions as far as experiences that we had? I can share.
Mark?
Okay. Go ahead.
No, not so much a sharing, and we're going back to the topic on next year or experiences. Burning Man is sort of a fantasy world, I think, and it's easy to get swept up into it. I think there might be a need for a little more discipline as far as I don't want to be a buzzkill, but there were times when there was, in the middle of the day, there was nobody in camp to really wash any feet or share Christian Science through literature or discussion. And I guess I made a joke to one person, that the thing that kept me away from Christ so long were the Christians. as far as, someone kind of being in your face, and the number of times that I would just be quietly washing somebody's feet, and people would inquire, like, so what is it with your group? And I was sort of almost generally kind of reticent. Oh yeah, well, we like sharing, and they would ask more questions, and I almost thought, someone mentioned the fact that I gave out of all the Christian Science at the talk, the Science and Health books, and it was more a matter of not really pushing so much as offering, and it's hard to say whether that's more or less effective, but it's almost
enjoying yourself, and people were wondering what's actually going on there. And so, that I think that's more approach than anything else. But really, there maybe could be a use for maybe a little bit better scheduling, so that there was, you know, people there on a fairly regular basis, so that that opportunity for interaction and sharing could happen. Maybe a little more organized.
And one of my hopes for that specific issue is that I think that if we have a few more people join us, and I think from the response that we've gotten from people we've told the stories to, there will be some additional people joining us next year. I think that that issue will be addressed just by having more bodies on hand, in terms of both scheduling a little bit more and organizing a little bit more, and just making sure that there are always people there. Particularly as, I mean, by the end of the week, people were talking about our camp, and you could hear, I mean, we just overheard them, you know, talking about the foot wash camp, and some of them were like, yeah, those Christians, washing feet. And that was just kind of neat to hear, actually. I know for myself, this whole experience brought a sense of real Christianity to my understanding of what it could mean to be a Christian Scientist. I would say it brought a very real and practical and immediate sense of loving every person that we encountered, just really, truly, unconditionally, and in that moment, expressing that in a very direct way. The comments that people wrote on our structure, the one that just brought tears to my eyes was somebody who wrote, "This is love," and they wrote it on our structure, and that we built. And which many of you who are on this call supported in one way or the other. And it, as Annalisa said earlier, it was a church that we built where we gave service for a week from breakfast through dinner, and then had this just amazing sunrise service that was actually of service to the public. And so that, for me, truly was a church I've been looking for, and one that I could be 100% enthusiastic about. And that was definitely a healing that I experienced as part of this experience. So I'm very grateful for that, and I'm very thankful for all of you who supported this metaphysically or financially or with your blood, sweat, and tears. So a big thank you to everyone.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Nancy. Well, I have a question. I'm curious just to know where the camp was in relation to Center Camp and the Esplanade and all. I don't know how the streets were named this year.
We were at 730 and K, so...
All right. That's good. Very cool.
Yeah, so it actually was a really neat location. When we finally found a place to camp that was big enough for us to set up our shade structure, we set it up, and one of our close neighbors was just playing this music really loudly to the point where it was just pretty distracting. And we kind of thought about it for a while and talked amongst ourselves, and finally, I think it was Andrea who was just like, "I'm just going to go over there and talk with them." And she did, and I guess the guy who was playing the music didn't really want to turn it off, but his wife was very happy to accommodate that, and it just it went quiet, and it didn't wasn't a problem the rest of the time. So it even things like that, which it just was this immediate sense of calm that came over our whole camp, and it was just lovely. So location wise, it was really good. For next year, we are going to request placement again so that we can actually know where we're going to be ahead of time. And I have a feeling that we may very well get it this year, since we have a little bit more of a track record from this past year. And assuming we get it, we'll be able to kind of let people know ahead of time where to find us.
Right, that'd be great.
How big was the shade structure? How many people maximum could fit in there?
So we had, it was sort of arranged, if you can imagine, like a cross. There was a 6 foot by 6 foot by 12 foot tall center column built out of lumber. And then we had 14 foot wide pieces of shade cloth, and so the longest of that was about 36 feet long, and the others were about 20 feet long each. So it was arranged kind of like a cross, and it just made this amazingly beautiful wave pattern in the wind. So it was just gorgeous.
And the whole structure was 8 to 12 feet above the ground, so it was very open. In theory, hundreds could fit, but it was just very open, and that was just never a question.
Right. In terms of next year, so our foot wash station itself, we had four chairs set up with, buckets and soap and vinegar and water, and that was about the right number to sit under one of those 20 foot by 14 foot sections. So if we were going to do it again next year, we could expand that to a second, a third, and even a fourth set of spots.
So one of the kind of unexpected bonuses of that design was that it defined different spaces, almost like rooms in a house, except there were no walls. So people might be washing feet at one place, but on the other side, they might be sitting and talking or having a meal. There was one time when one of our foot washing customers was pretty smashed with something, either alcohol or drugs, and just kind of looked like you would probably benefit by just having a rest. And so one of our shade structures, actually I just brought a rug out from the dome at that point and just invited him to take a rest if he wanted to do that. As it turned out, he didn't, but that rug remained as part of our full service, complete service, church. You can even take a rest if you need to.
So this is Amanda, and I have a quick question for those who went, and maybe it's not something you can answer immediately, but from this experience and from your totality of experience with Christian Science, how do you think, or what do you think you can bring back from Burning Man that you can now share with your individual churches? Like, how do you plan on spreading this experience to not something that, like Mark said, is kind of a fantasy world that's out in the middle of nowhere where only a few people can enjoy it, and kind of maybe incorporate some of that sense, some of that feeling, some of that sharing and love into your daily lives and into your weekly lives in your church, your immediate church community?
I think that's a question we have been thinking about and will be thinking a lot about in the future and developing more answers to, but the thing that comes immediately to mind, and that I've already been to three branch churches talking to people about it, in how to engage with the public, is just, I think my main takeaway from Burning Man is just that very tangible evidence of the fact that people are not cynical, that is just not true about them. And at Burning Man, that was just really evident, and there's no reason it's not true out here, too. It's just people all think it's true, so it looks true, but so that people are really receptive to an honest conversation if you're humble enough, and just if you don't have any pretension that they'll be cynical or aggressive or doubtful, they're just open to it, and you know, it'll be a harmonious thing to just talk honestly about whatever is most needed to be talked about with whoever needs it. And that's a really exciting message to hear if you're a local branch church struggling to find relevance to your community or figure out how to best express reading room or a lecture or something. And I think we need to keep addressing this question, Amanda, so thank you for asking it. And I look forward to seeing what comes of it.
So here's a quick thing that I've already thought of. This is Annalisa again. One of the things that just kind of got clarified for me there at Burning Man is there's no difference, really, between reaching out to folks that you don't know that maybe have lifestyles that are absolutely not one that I would choose. But the love that is willing to reach out to that is no different from the love that I would give and did give to our own core team that might be hot and sweaty and working on our wonderful Evapotron and just be ready for some cold water. It suddenly became clear to me that there's not a difference between outreach and inreach. It's just all reach. It's just all love. And that was kind of a new idea to me because I realized I just had this kind of dividing line between, well, this is love that is going out to all the folks we don't know, and this is love that's going to the folks that we do know. And I just realized there was no dividing point in there. It just, we just get to love. So that's I'm looking forward to just seeing what shape that takes in my own branch church experience.
Grant and Annalisa, I think both your points, this is Mark, are so right on, and the idea of a dividing line, because that came up again and again with talking to people at Burning Man. They were like, you know, this is so wonderful, but then we have to go back to our other life or our real life. And for me, I guess if there's any healing that I really am trying to take with me from that is to deny the fact that the existence I'm living day to day, in my home and in my workplace is any different from the love and the harmony that existed in that microcosm of Burning Man. And so I would just say here to the points that you've made, and just keep trying to keep that spirit alive in everyday
say? This is physical. Mark never participated in the Christian Science activities as much so. You know, this whole divide of who's member, who's Christian Scientist, and who isn't, really might be the future model for our church, because you know, we have some manual provisions for, say, readers have to be members of the Latter Church and things like that. But basically, I feel that breaking down that wall of identifying who is really in, and is there someone who's out, and I think that if the movement can really see the value in this inclusivity, more people will want to come to us, and that's really, to me, the early, the primitive Christianity that Mrs. Eddy really wanted us to live, to be inclusive. And I think many places they're beginning to realize this, and I'm very happy for that awakening, because I think it's in consciousness of many people in this movement as well, and sometimes frustrated that we don't see this in our branches. But I think if there is a place like Burning Man, maybe people can actually practice this in different places. It doesn't have to be Burning Man, but outside church activities, church members start that include everyone to be part of it. And then they will feel like, well, what's this? What is the teaching here? It really is, what is the teaching? It's not about what's in the bylaw. So I think, to me, that's something that we can each think about for our own branches and community. How can we include those so-called members, or those who are not qualified to be members because they do this and that? So, that's my thought.
Bylaw burning. We need to burn the bylaws every year, right?
That's true.
This is Michael. Wonderful question, Amanda. Thank you. Great responses from everyone. One word that comes to mind for me is I've learned a lot about mobility at Burning Man, and the importance and the power of mobility. I don't know how many of you had the opportunity to take the census that is sponsored this year for Burning Man, but if you get a chance, I really would highly recommend it. It makes you think about the experience totally differently. And one of the questions they ask is, in the default world, which is the world they call anything that's not Burning Man, how many hours a day do you walk to visit friends and family? And how many hours a day do you bicycle to get to where you need to go? And it gives you 0 to 1 hours, 2 to 3 hours, you know, different answers. Then it asks, at Burning Man, how many hours a day did you spend walking to visit friends or family? How many days do you spend bicycling, just generally? And I consider myself a pretty active individual in both those ways, but the answers that I gave were so completely different for how much time I spend walking to visit friends and family here, you know, in Burbank or wherever I am, versus, you know, the 3 hours a day, literally. That's what I put, because it's true, that I spent walking to visit friends and family at Burning Man. And because you have that attitude and that activity, you're not surprised that you're meeting tons of new people, that you're communicating with them differently, that you're open to receive, you're available to give. If you spend 3 hours walking, not driving, not rushing to where you need to go, and I feel like if we could instill that in our churches, a sense of, like, stillness, yet a sense of mobility, where, you know, everyone was just committed to being in their community, to walking in their community. I mean, Mary Baker Eddy took a carriage ride every day in her community, and it transformed that whole place. And people knew her. She knew other people. She prayed for them. I think if we could commit as church members to that kind of activity in our communities, you know, on an individual basis, and then see what that turns into collectively, that would completely transform what church is about, because we wouldn't be inside four walls or trying to bait people in on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, but you would just be out and available. That's like a huge, huge revelation for me. I just took a walk today, actually a bike ride and a walk, and I met like three people during my bike ride that I was able to just share with and love, and this is like blocks away from my house. So there's so many neat opportunities for us if we, you know, take these practical elements of Burning Man and apply them to where we are right now.
Can you guys hear me? This is Jenny Nelson. Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Yes? Oh, okay. Well, Michael's making me think about interfaith work, because September 21st is the United Nations Worldwide Day of Prayer, and he was making me think about how I and all of us could be going to, I mean, it's become just natural for me to meet with unity ministers, religious science ministers, a congregational minister, a United Church of Christ minister, a Muslim, a Baha'i, just like I did in Eugene, Oregon. These people have all become neighbors. I mean, they've become community friends, and this response that branch churches can do to their community, far more than just outreach, it's really responding to their enthusiasm to have a Christian Scientist involved in interfaith work and to be speaking for a minute or 3 minutes from Mrs. Eddy's writings, the Bible, at Day of Peace, at these interfaith prayer services. It's something that every branch church could be doing in their community, and it serves the same purpose that Michael was just talking about.
Thank you, Jenny. It's awesome. But
So on that note, are there any final things that anybody would like to share? Probably good to wrap this conversation up tonight. We are planning on doing an in-person show and tell with, and kind of also telling kind of the whole story again, locally here in the Bay Area. Probably in the next, I'm guessing, month and a half type of time frame to kind of still tell that story while it's still a little bit fresh.
Also, last year you did it on Time for Thinkers on a Monday night, hour-long, you know, talk that everyone could listen to.
So that might be a possibility as well. And we do have, for those of you who don't know, we do have a website called spiritualplaya.org where we posted quite a few of the preparatory things that we did, and we'll be posting stories and pictures there, as well as probably a recording of this call. So, I'll just leave it open for anybody who wants to say a final word.
Well, I just want to, this is Grant, I just want to answer that question that was posed earlier. I assume someone must have already answered that with talking about the Sunday morning service.
Well, we did touch on that, but why don't you give it your perspective?
we had this beautiful Sunday morning service that involved some people that we had met over the course of the week, and then some people that just, you know, found us there and that we found there. It involved singing out of our hymnal, singing out of a hymnal that some of our other Christian friends brought. It involved, for the most part, sticking to the order of services and reading our lesson, and that reading it to about a fluctuating group, about a dozen people who were actively engaging with it. It involved someone sharing some Buddhist Zen little, I don't know what to call it, fable parable. And the most poignant memories from it were at one point a woman coming up. This temple that this took place in was a place where people brought things they needed to depart from, whether that was grief or personal things. And this woman came up to our austere second reader, Gabriel, and she was completely overwhelmed when she came up in tears and everything with what she was going through. And she just had this conversation with him without saying a word, and it was amazing to watch this beautiful thing happening, of them just communicating very directly, just through eye contact with each other, and watching healing happen as the service kept going. And by the end of the service, she was singing along and smiling and getting together, and she talked to a couple of us after. And at the close of the service, did someone tell the story about the temple guard?
Not yet.
So this woman dressed as a bejeweled angel or something comes up as we're nearing the end of our service, and she lets us know that in a few minutes the temple will be closing because they, you know, need to do their work to prepare the temple for its end. And so she says, we have just a few minutes to get out. She says it very graciously. And we said, well, our service is just wrapping up. Would you like to join us? She says, sure. And our first reader says, we'll now read the scientific statement of being. And this angel says, I'm Mary Binkert Eddy. And she recites it from memory for us, for our service.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's clear from her eyes and her tone that she loves it. And, you know, we can sort of guess, because of how she closed it, what her background might be. But whatever her background actually is, it's clear that she knows this and loves it currently. And then after she finishes, she says, Sunday school is dismissed, and she kind of just put her hands together and gracefully bowed out with a smile on her face. So it was cool to just serve all kinds of different people who had never heard of Christian Science, who had their own thing going on, who maybe grew up with Christian Science, or those of us that were there as Christian scientists, whatever that label means, just to meet all kinds of different needs with our service and actually serve. And all this inside of a beautiful temple to a beautiful sunrise, and just the timing and the placement all worked out perfectly. And it was just very evident the entire week and during the prep leading up how little we had to do with what was happening and how clearly orchestrated and directed it all was to bless us and bless the couple hundred people that we encountered.
I think that probably sums it up perfectly right there. So I would say we're going to be planning next year's trip. Anybody who is interested in that, check out the spiritualplaya.org. We also have a Facebook page. If you like that, you'll see our updates there too. And if you're not a member already of our CS at BM info mailing list, please send an email to Julian or to me, and we'll make sure you get added. And I'd say that might be a good place to wrap it up for tonight.
One last thought. This is Michael. I would encourage everyone that did attend Burning Man or kind of is on this call, because I think there's a very special, beautiful kind of thought that's just collectively here, to go to timeforthinkers.com, time4thinkers. They just started their new season of the Radical Acts Project with a focus on reaching out to communities that are just totally new to these ideas or just receptive. And one of the activities there is to wash another's feet. And it's awesome that we have been able to share over this call, and maybe we'll have some other opportunities. But I would really encourage everyone that attended to find a way to just type up, maybe real briefly, some of these experiences and share them via that medium, because it would reach a certain segment of the church members who are, and others actually, who were trying to kind of just love on and open new ideas and ways of doing things. And just a great way for us to keep this going, keep it cycling, and to grow and build momentum for what we'll be doing next year. So it would be great to see you all there sharing stories and responding to people and their thoughts as well. So that's all I have to say. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Good night.
Sylvia Medeiros has left the conference.